Welcome to the Burkett Long Lawcast. With me today is David Rayner, who is partner in commercial real estate and head of the Environment and Energy Group at Burkett Long. Today he's going to talk about the possible impact of the recent floods on commercial property for owners and occupiers. David.
Hello. I was just thinking about what's been going on recently with all the floods that have been in the news and the possible impact that that could have. And once the floodwaters have receded, what both owners of commercial property and their occupiers are going to be thinking about dealing with paying for the damage that's been caused and potentially what's going to happen going forward and whether the damage that has been caused has been insured against. Traditionally, landlords like to insure their commercial properties and tenants then reimburse the premium for that. And usually landlords will include flood risk as one of the insured risks. However, that is becoming a risk that it is harder to insure against, and certainly one that is only capable of being insured against at higher premiums. And therefore, that's an issue both for landlords and tenants. For the tenants, whether they're going to have to pay more to get the insurance, and ultimately for both of them, whether it's actually insurable in any event. And of course, if it's not insured against, then the risk will fall on the tenant under most leases, so that in most leases, the tenant will have an obligation to repair the property, but damage by insured risks is accepted. Naturally, it flows from that that if flooding or any other risk is not insured against, the damage that arises from that uninsured risk falls on the tenant. And therefore, tenants might find themselves in the unenviable position of not being able to occupy their premises and also having to pay for the privilege of making them good and being able to get back into them.
Is there a solution to deal with uninsured damage then?
Well, there is a solution. And nowadays, I think more and more modern commercial leases are being drafted on the basis that if a risk is no longer insured against, so that uninsured damage occurs, landlords have an option, and the option is they either decide within a very short period after the damage has occurred to end the lease, in which case everyone walks away from it, the landlords will keep any insurance monies that they may or may not receive, or the landlord decides that he, notwithstanding that it's not insured damage, will make good the damage, in which case he'll do that at his own cost. The lease will continue. The tenant won't have to pay any rent until reinstatement has occurred. And that seems to be a reasonable balance between both the landlord and the tenant. As I say, unfortunately, that's only going to be the case in modern leases that have been granted recently. And it's not going to be the case for the leases that perhaps are now 10, 15, 20 years old. So landlords and tenants, if they've suffered flooding damage or any other damage, will need to just look at their leases to see what their respective obligations are and who the risk will actually fall on.
So if you do find yourself in a situation where you have uninsured loss, what's your best advice?
Certainly you need to check what the lease says to see whether in that circumstance, as I've already said, the risk will just fall on the tenant. If it does, then frankly the tenant needs to get together with the landlord and have a sensible discussion to see whether there is a way forward. Ultimately, I don't think it's in anyone's interest in the property industry for tenants to be in a position of having to pay for premises that they actually physically cannot occupy or use, and most responsible landlords will recognise that and will be prepared to do a deal of some sort. Obviously, the best thing to do before you suffer uninsured damage is to review your documents and see if you can negotiate a deed of variation or just even a memorandum of understanding with your landlord or your tenant, just to make sure that the potential risk is covered in some way. But I think ultimately it comes down to having a sensible discussion between the two parties. And I have to say, nowadays, landlords and tenants talk to each other much more than they used to when I first started out in the law 30 years ago, when it was much more, frankly, adversarial.
The press is full at the moment of the deal that the government has done with the Association of British Insurers for damage to residential properties, which there has been a lot of in recent times. What is that, and can it help commercial properties?
Well, the deal that the government's done with the Association of British Insurers for flood damage to residential properties cannot, unfortunately, help commercial property at all. For residential premises, there was a real concern that no deal was going to get done and residential properties were going to find themselves unable to insure against flood risk. Basically, the deal covers most areas in the country, but it doesn't cover all council tax bands. So the higher rate bands are not covered. So if you own a residential property in a higher rate band, broadband, you just want to have a discussion with your insurers about whether or not flood insurance is covered. I think even if it is, you will find that rates go up, but because of the deal, they shouldn't go up as much as had initially been feared.
Thank you, David.